least 5 civilians, including a child, are killed in a Saudi-led airstrike on Yemen's western city of Hodeidah. Iran begins a clinical trial of its second domestically developed coronavirus vaccine. Myanmar's ruling junta steps up its crackdown on anti-coup protesters, killing 18 more people. Thanks so much for being with us. First story takes us to Yemen this hour, where at least 5 civilians, including a child, have been killed in a Saudi-led airstrike in that country. According to the Yemeni media, the drone raid targeted a residential building in the western city of Hodeidah. Several other people were wounded. Saudi Arabia and its allies launched their aggression against Yemen back in March of 2015. That entailed both a military offensive and a tight blockade. The campaign was aimed at overthrowing Yemen's Ansarullah movement and reinstating the Saudi-backed former regime. That objective has not been achieved yet. Now, the UN says nearly a quarter of a million of Yemenis have died so far, more than a half of them from indirect causes, such as a lack of food. The Yemeni army says it has conducted a large-scale drone and missile strike operation against sensitive targets in Saudi Arabia. Army spokesman Yahya Saidi says ballistic missiles and over a dozen drones were used in the operation deep inside of the kingdom. Saidi said the overnight strikes hit targets at 3 sites, including those in the Saudi capital of Riyadh and the southern city of Abha. He warned that military operations against the Saudi-led coalition will continue and expand until a siege on Yemen is lifted. The attacks followed those on Abha airport less than a month ago. The Yemeni army frequently launches drones and missiles into Saudi Arabia. That's in retaliation for over 5 years of a Saudi-led aggression that has killed tens of thousands of Yemenis and pushed a country to the brink of famine. Political commentator Hossein al-Bakhati says Yemenis sent a message of warning to Saudi Arabia and its allies with strikes on Riyadh.
We have seen that the airports like in Najran and in Jizan and in Khamis Mashiq and in Abha, including Riyadh, they have closed for several hours. They have directed many flights to other airports around those area. And this latest operation shows that Yemeni army and ballistic missile and drone unit here in Sana'a are well equipped to take this type of huge operation to target Saudi Arabia. And I believe that this is a clear message to the United Nations, to the UN Security Council, to Biden administration, who have all of them have asked Sana'a to stop attacking Saudi Arabia, but we haven't seen any single condemnation against Saudi Arabia blockade and war against Yemen that have killed more than 300,000 Yemeni civilians. Just yesterday, Saudi conducted a strike on a home in Hodeidah city, killing 5 civilians and injuring other, maybe 4 civilians from one family in Hodeidah city. And Hodeidah actually is protected by the Stockholm ceasefire agreement. But this show you that Saudi Arabia, actually, they have failed miserably on the ground. They have failed in all their military operations. And the only retaliation they can take is against Yemeni civilians by targeting them directly, like it happened yesterday in Hodeidah, or by tightening the blockade against Yemen. But today, the Sana'a government and as well the spokesperson of Yemeni army, General Yahya Sari', has insisted that attacks will continue against Saudi Arabia, and the only solution is for Saudi to stop its war, its strike, and its blockade.
Iran has started the clinical trial of its domestically developed coronavirus vaccine. 2 volunteers received the RaziCov-Pars vaccine doses during a ceremony attended by government officials in Tehran. A total of 133 volunteers will gradually receive injections during the first human trial stage. The results will be analyzed and reported to the health ministry. Covpars, developed at Iran's Razi Vaccine and Serum Research Institute, is administered both through injection and inhalation. This is the second indigenously developed COVID vaccine currently under clinical trials. The achievement comes as the country faces difficulties in importing COVID vaccines due to U.S. sanctions. Earlier, our correspondent Yusuf Jalali talked about the clinical trial of Iran's second domestically developed COVID vaccine and what differences it could make in the outcome.
The vaccine, the Covpars vaccine, is also administered intranasally, and it clears the upper parts of the respiratory system from any coronavirus, because the coronavirus, of course, want to reside in this comfort zone of the upper part of the respiratory system. So the Covpars vaccine clears this part from the virus, so the recipient will not exhale the virus to their surrounding atmosphere. So those people who are in touch with those recipients of the Covpars vaccine will not catch the virus. So this is one of the edges that this Covpars vaccine has over its domestic rival, Coviron. The second one is the fact that it does not need to put the virus itself into the body of the recipient. So Covpars vaccine does not work based on an inactivated version of the virus or weakened version of the virus as its rival, Coviron, does. Covpars, of course, cheats the immune system based on a recombinant version of the spike protein, which tutors the immune system to be strong and to be on alert, maximum alert, on a possible attack by the coronavirus. The third advantage of Covpars vaccine is the fact that, as put by the developers of the vaccine, is the fact that this vaccine is also reliable when it comes to the variant versions of the coronavirus or the mutated version of the coronavirus.
And now it's time for this hour's news review. Myanmar security forces have killed at least 18 people during the latest wave of anti-coup protests there. That's according to the UN Human Rights Office. The UN said security forces confronted peaceful protesters in several locations across Myanmar. It said over 30 people were wounded as a result. The UN Rights Office strongly condemned the violence. The latest deaths bring to 21 the number of people been killed since anti-coup protests began in Myanmar. The army seized power on February the 1st, citing voter fraud in last year's November election. It also detained civilian officials, including the de facto leader Aung San Suu Kyi. Protesters say they want civilian rule and the release of the detained officials. I'd like to welcome my guest to this news review, Naysan Luan, coordinator of Free Rohingya Coalition out of Frankfurt, and Thun Khin, president of Burmese Rohingya Organization UK out of London. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start it off in Frankfurt. And Nay, why are we seeing an increase in violence now in Myanmar?
Well, it is very clear the action from the international community is not enough. That is the reason, you know, that the junta is continuously terrorizing the innocent civilian, peaceful protester across the country. Today, the mainstream news media reported that 18 people were killed, but in my record, at least 27 were killed and almost 1,000. Some are in the critical condition, some got the minor injury. So obviously, the serious action, like, you know, in 2017, Rohingya were massacred, tens of thousands of Rohingya were killed, you know, the wall was just washing. Now the wall is just washing, and, you know, they are continuously issuing the concern statement. Just half an hour ago, U.S. Embassy in Rangoon also issued a short statement. So they are condemning, they concern, but these are not really enough. So they have to take serious action, that even if they need to take the military action, they should think. Because, you know, the general, this military general, they are used to with the sanction, even the, you know, the all the economic sanction in the past, you know, the U.S. and EU and U.K. imposed, you know, they handle. So this time, the sanctions are not really enough. So to save the life, this sanction and the statement will not be alive. They have to take, you know, for the serious action.
What when you say serious action, what are you thinking about? What would you recommend if you were in that position?
Let me not speak my opinion. You know, if I had to tell you the personal opinion, I would say, you know, the military intervention. But my fellow Burmese who are now in Myanmar, they have also the same opinion. You know, they are holding the placard denial that, you know, we warmly welcome the U.S. Army for the action. So they really want, you know, they don't care, you know, whatever happens. They just want to get rid of this military dictatorship. It has been in the country since 1962.
Okay, let's turn to London and turn your take on all of this. I mean, where does this need to go at this point in time to get the situation calmed down, de-escalated?
First thing here is I totally, completely agree what my friend Kune Selin mentioned, you know, why international community is watching, you know, arresting people, military arresting people. They are doing another strategy, another tactics to use the violence against the protesters. And while international community is drafting another statement, they are killing protesters. And I don't know what statement international community will come up. And I think there are some developments, but this is not enough. We have seen that U.S. introduced some sanctions, and EU is still thinking about it. UK also did some sanction to military, but we are looking at military companies and military-related companies, global arms embargo. These are important, but the bottom line is military, they don't care about sanctions. We need much more than that. So what action here is, you know, we need to see some intervention from the United States or UN. That is very important. And ASEAN, the key role they should play instead, ASEAN is, you know, they are not really good enough. We have seen, you know, as a Rohingya myself, as a genocide survivor, we are watching this international community lack of action for 3 years. Genocide was, genocide against Rohingya is still ongoing. But international community did not do. UN Security Council sat down for many times. We have not seen any action except one presidential statement. So international community words need to translate to action. The people of Burma, you know, coming out of the street every day, and Light Infantry Division 77, the most notorious and brutal, they kill thousands of Rohingya and other minorities in Burma. Now they are all at the city of Rangoon, the largest city, and other cities in Burma. They are cracking down. They will do much more in upcoming days. That is that is very serious. So for me, to de-escalate, I don't see that. In Burma, the people, they are brave enough. I salute them. They are coming out of the street because the people of Burma, we can see Generation Z, they want to see inclusive democracy in Burma as far as what we know. And here, what I want to find out here is the people of Burma coming out of the street now 3 days. 3 weeks. And today, as far as what I also received, more than 27 people killed. UN mentioned 18 people, but increasing. About 1,000 people of Burma wounded. And, you know, military, they are just killing the people with the sniper, whatever they can.
Okay.
So in this kind of situation, I think they deserve more than what? Not a kind of condemnation, not a statement, not concern, but action. They deserve action. That is very important, not only for the people of Burma. You can see this military, Ming Online, you know, most wanted, who committed genocide against Rohingya, crime against humanity, other minorities. We must bring him, to the International Criminal Court and international community.
Okay, on that note, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being with us on this news review. Nansan Luan, coordinator Free Rohingya Coalition Frankfurt, and Tun Khun, president Burmese Rohingya Organization UK, London. Police and protesters have clashed in Bangladesh on the third day of demonstrations against the death of a government critic in jail. Dozens were injured during clashes in the capital, Dhaka. Police fired rubber bullets and tear gas to disperse the crowd. Police say the protesters did not get permission to hold the rally. Prominent writer and government critic Mushtaq Ahmad died on Thursday, 10 months after he was arrested. He had posed comments on social media criticizing the government's response to the coronavirus outbreak in Bangladesh. He had been detained under a security law, critics say, is being used to silence dissent. Thai police and anti-government protesters have clashed in the capital, Bangkok. Clashes took place outside a military barracks where Prime Minister Prayuth Chan-o-cha lives. There has been no immediate report on casualties. Protesters threw bottles at police officers who used tear gas and water cannons to break up the rally. Demonstrators want a rewrite of the army drafted constitution and reforms to the monarchy. They also want the premier to step down. Now, protesters have been holding rallies pushing for their demands since July of last year. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
A diverse range of programs, spirituality, youth, Eastern tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of the sex. My dad, who taught me the art of life.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 28, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special, as you may know, is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us your views. Or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us in IRIB English Radio to provide a better service to our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us in normal days. I mean, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. However, my colleagues are working on eQSL cards for you, dear listeners. As you may know, sending any material, including IRIB souvenirs, on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. So please be patient until we get back to normal life, and then we will send you paper QSL cards and other items. And here I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including N. Arun Kumar from India, Vlad Vinogradov from Russia, and Valentin Bradatino from Romania. And Arun, Vlad, and Valentin, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And our deepest and sincerest thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails and letters, including Mr. Najimuddin from India. Also, Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Alejandro Filimonchak from Argentina has sent us an email. And from Sweden, we have an email from Jan Thornblom, one of our regular listeners. And also, Ivan Rodiono from Germany has sent us an email. Dear listeners, please stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages after the music. Welcome back. First of all, we start this part of our program with an email from Mr. Najimuddin from India. Mr. Najimuddin from India says, Dear IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings to all of you from International DX Radio Listeners Club members. We found your program very interesting and informative. We regularly listen to your wonderful program and visit your informative web pages. We must say that you are doing such a nice job in keeping us all informed about the various events taking place in the world through the program by radio and web pages. The fact is that whenever we need to know about the Islamic Republic of Iran and its various related things, IRIB English Radio becomes the best choice and a nice way to get the information. Also, I would like to say that your website and programs are a very nice source of information, entertainment, and knowledgeable. Keep up the good work. Salam, Mr. Najmuddin from India. And you, please accept our deep thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. And also, we appreciate you for telling us your views about IRIB English Radio programs as well as the website. And also, as you noted, whenever there is the need to know about Iran and its developments, it's better to refer to IRIB source rather than trusting the Western media, which try to portray a false image about Iran. So thank you for writing to IRIB English Radio. Send our greetings to your club members and write to us soon, Mr. Najimuddin from India. Also, from Bangladesh, we have an email from Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar. Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh says, Hello, dear IRIB English Radio. At first, take my salam from Bangladesh. Hope you are well. I listened to the listeners' special program and liked it very much. I was especially happy to receive a reply to my letter. Also, the greetings of the listeners from all over the world on the occasion of the World Radio Day were very beautiful. I strongly believe that the Islamic Republic of Iran speaks for the oppressed people around the world. Iran is the only country that has the power to challenge any arrogant country like the United States. This has been possible only because of their faith in God. I wish you all good health and prosperity, all the best. And salam from Iran to Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh. I truly appreciate you for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Yes, we reply to all our listeners' letters and emails in our program, Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And we in IRIB English Radio really value the commitment and support of our dear listeners. And your view about the role of Iran is respectable and valued. Thank you very much. Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh, good luck and tons of best wishes. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from our dear listeners from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. The pieces of music that you hear during the program are all Iranian traditional music. We hope you enjoy them. From Argentina, we have an email from Alejandro Filimonchak. Alejandro says, Hi from Buenos Aires. I could hear your transmission a few days ago from 2020 35 to 2020 50 UTC. I attached an audio clip sample, and I hope you can verify it for a QSL card. The reception was good, with a lot of noise, but overall, it was good. Thank you very much. And I'm waiting for a verification from your respectful radio station IRIB English Radio. God bless you all. Salam and greetings to you, Alejandro Frilly Munchak from Argentina. We are really grateful for writing this email to IRIB English Radio, and thank you for contacting Radio IRIB English Radio. It seems that you've already received IRIB English Radio signals. However, you mentioned that your reception was good, but accompanied by a lot of noise. What a pity. Alejandro, it was such a pleasure to receive this email from you, from Argentina. In your upcoming emails and letters, Alejandro, tell us your views about our broadcast. Good luck, and please stay in touch with IRIB English Radio. Also, this time from Sweden, we have an email from Jan Thornblom, who is one of our regular listeners. Jan Thornblom says, "Dear producer, thank you for your nice email and for your interest in my opinion. I think it's a great idea to switch to answering reception reports with email QSL. It also saves a lot of money for you. Best regards from Sweden." Salam, Jan Thornblom from Sweden. It seems that Jan Thornblom is addressing our producer, which has answered, which is kind of reply about, a suggestion, actually, to sending our dear listeners eQSL cards in the time of coronavirus pandemic. Jan Thornblom from Sweden, thanks for your consideration, and please accept our sincerest gratitude for your suggestion about sending eQSL cards, which our dear colleagues are producing to send you in the future. Jan Thornblom from Sweden, write to us very soon and speak about your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Dear listeners, what about a short break? Welcome back. Here we have an email from Germany. This email is from Ivan Rodionov. Ivan says, "Dear the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, today I received your station on my receiver here in Germany. Unfortunately, my English is quite poor, so I was unable to understand much in terms of content. There were some prayers followed by news program. Background music choice was good but a bit loud. Overall, not bad content. I'm waiting for your response, and please send me either a QSL or paper QSL card to my address." Salam and greetings to you, Ivan Rodionov from Germany. We really appreciate your taking time to listen to IRIB English Radio and also writing this text to our radio. Anyway, you said your English is quite poor, but we hope you improve it, and then you can listen to the content and you understand the content of IRIB English Radio programs. Though, we have also IRIB German Radio, and then you can switch to that radio maybe sometime. But we hope you can improve your English and listen to IRIB English Radio either. Anyway, you can also refer to our website at www.parseldaycom/en and use the content there. Anyway, as your request about sending eQSL or paper QSL card, as you may know, in the time of coronavirus pandemic, sending any material, including paper QSL card, to our dear listeners around the world is forbidden and halted, actually, temporarily, due to international protocols, but our colleagues are preparing eQSL cards for our dear listeners in the near future, of course. Ivan Rodionov from Germany, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back. And here we come to the end of this week's edition of Listener's Special. Please keep in touch and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Kaiser Health News found that nearly two-thirds of Americans live in counties that spend more than twice as much on policing as they spend on non-hospital health care, which includes public health. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by Ella Fassler Ryder. This article is published under the heading 10 largest U.S. cities will spend more on police than public health this year. Here's more. Over 1,900 people have died from COVID-19 in Houston, Texas, the U.S. most diverse and fourth most populous city. Roughly 1.4 million people, that is about 19.7% of the city's population, are without health insurance. And multiple hospitals, ICUs, have been at capacity for months. Yet, the city's police department budget for 2021 is 10 times greater than the Houston Health Department's budget, with the police allotted nearly $1 billion and the health department $100 million. While the discrepancy in Houston's budgeting priorities is particularly dramatic, a recent analysis found that all 10 of the U.S. largest cities will spend more on policing than public health during fiscal year 2021. Combined, these 10 cities' policing budgets are 3.6 times greater than public health department budgets. Public health departments are generally tasked with aiding vaccine distribution, combating foodborne illnesses, homelessness, and environmental toxins, and supporting addiction treatment, among other health-promoting activities. The discrepancy between public health and policing budgets is underestimated. Phoenix, Arizona, for example, does not have its own health department. In this case, reporters included the state's entire health budget in its analysis. Still, Arizona's health budget is just two-thirds of Phoenix Police Department budget. Other studies have uncovered similar trends. Kaiser Health News found that nearly two-thirds of Americans live in counties that spend more than twice as much on policing as they spend on non-hospital health care, which includes public health. A new in-depth report released by the Center for Community Alternatives found that New York State spent $18.2 billion on the carceral system in 2019, including policing, jails, prisons, prosecutors, parole, and probation, compared to $6.2 billion on mental health services, public health, youth programs and services, recreation, and elder services combined. Policing and public health operate under antithetical frameworks. In an article published in the American Journal of Public Health, the authors explained, "A public health approach neither accepts harm as a given nor accepts punishment as prevention. Rather, a public health approach divests from a punishment framework and invests in a prevention framework, centering community-based and community-led efforts to public safety and well-being." Although in the U.S., even health and social work systems are often bound up with the prison industrial complex. At their best, public health practitioners target the structural inequities that may be responsible for criminalized behaviors. For example, a true public health approach to substance use would emphasize decriminalization, harm reduction, and empathetic treatment, while a policing approach criminalizes marginalized groups who use illegal substances, disappears people, and often tortures them with solitary confinement. The United States government writ large has always prioritized the carceral system over public health, but this dynamic reached new heights during the 80s and 90s. The Federal 1994 Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act, co-authored by Joe Biden and signed by then-President Bill Clinton, allocated $12 billion in state subsidies for prison construction, prioritizing states with the harshest sentencing laws. Moreover, already underfunded public health departments have been increasingly under threat over the past decade. A dearth of funding set the stage for mass death from COVID-19, and in some states is contributing to snail-paced vaccine distribution. Georgia's COVID Data Task Force was disassembled due to a lack of funds, and the state slashed its fiscal year 2022 public health budget by $7 million. Meanwhile, district and county health departments in Alabama were operating at 65% capacity in 2019 relative to 2010. Some county health departments in North Carolina offer such low salaries that they are unable to fill vacancies for public health nursing positions. State budgets have been supplanted with federal COVID-19 funds, but the rollout has been slow and in some cases insufficient. Police Violence Collective, EPV, a group that writes about and generates support for the abolition of police and prisons in the public health field, has joined the chorus of rebellion-inspired voices who argue for the reallocation of funds from policing to social services and ultimately for abolition. Omid Garakani, a member of EPV, told reporters that the collective formed in the process of developing and organizing a statement that addressed law enforcement violence as a public health issue for the American Public Health Association, APHA, which was permanently adopted in 2018. Last October, EPV and other activists drafted, garnered support for, and published an abolitionist statement for APHA that emphasized decarceration during the pandemic. While the health harms of incarceration in U.S. jails, prisons, and detention centers have long been a public health crisis, the statement reads, their coupling with the ongoing pandemic have made them simultaneously hyper-visible and unprecedentedly exacerbated. By mid-2020, for the first time since 2003, the U.S. prison population dipped below 2 million. A Vera Institute report found that a decline in local jail populations was initially responsible for the decrease, but many jails have since refilled. Prison populations declined in the summer and fall modestly. Still, the report says the decrease was neither substantial nor sustained enough to be considered an adequate response to the COVID-19 pandemic, and incarceration in the United States remains a global aberration. Rather than putting faith in public officials to shift money away from prisons and policing, some advocates, including the Movement for Black Lives, offer participatory budgeting, PB, a model for community control over money with roots in Brazil as a more robust route toward decarceration and defunding of police. For PB to be truly equitable, writes the Center for Popular Democracy, it must center the voices of those most impacted, thus giving marginalized communities power over the pots of money that most affect their lives. The idea has been implemented in some U.S. cities, but on a relatively trivial scale. The Measure U Committee in Sacramento, California, recommended that the city allocate $15 million of its $1.3 billion budget toward participatory budgeting. On February 9th, Sacramento City Council announced it would set aside $1 million, with one council member citing his belief in representative democracy as justification for the meager rationing. Black liberation uprisings in Seattle, Washington pushed the city council to cut its police budget by 18% and allocate $30 million of its $6.5 billion budget toward participatory budgeting. A 1,000-page report submitted to Seattle City Council from the Black Brilliance Research Project's needs assessment focused on housing, mental health, youth, crisis and wellness, and economic development. A voting process is scheduled for mid-July to mid-August 2021. Garakani similarly emphasizes community empowerment as a pathway toward abolition, noting that the current public health system sometimes stands as a barrier. Put simply, people most harmed by health harms and state violence must be shaping the ways we build and dismantle systems, he told reporters. The system of public health is often complicit in the harm we are seeing, both with the pandemic and beyond, he said. For example, HIV-related criminal prosecutions may rely on medical records provided by the public health department. Furthermore, he said, public health practitioners are often complicit by supporting community policing strategies. True community-based public health practice, however, will shift power to those who are closest to the problem and subsequently closer to the solution, he added. Throughout the pandemic, the enormous mutual aid efforts we've seen grow in communities across the country and the world are proof that communities know what is best and what is needed for own health.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of a televised speech delivered on January 8, 2021 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, on the anniversary of an uprising led by the people of the city of Qom on January 9, 1978.
A few points about the Barjam, JCPOA, and the reductions in the commitments of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The second point is that the decision by the Majlis and the administration to cancel the Barjam commitments is the right decision. It is a completely reasonable, logical, and acceptable decision. When the other side fails to honor all of its Barjam commitments, then it does not make sense for the Islamic Republic to honor all of its commitments either. That is why, since some time ago, they have gradually begun to withdraw from some commitments. Recently, too, they have withdrawn from some others. If they return to their commitments, we'll return to ours as well. I have said this from the beginning, since the very beginning. When the issue of the Barjam arose, I said, commitment in return for commitment. We will make moves in proportion with theirs. Whatever we are supposed to do should be done equally by the other side. Well, this was not done in the beginning, but now it must be done.
Your light and love, all I see, your thing or I'd ever want to be. My Lord, protect me from dishonor, grant me faith to be stronger.
Another issue that would not be bad to be discussed, I have written it down, is that I have heard some people have questions about my comments in a television program recently broadcast. In that program, I said that a young Hezbollahi administration should hold office, and I said in another time that it would not be a good idea to eliminate the veterans. And such people believe that these two comments do not add up. However, I would tell them that they are not completely compatible and they do not contradict one another in any way. Notice that I firmly believe in reliance of young forces, and this belief is not related to the present time. I have believed this since long ago. Trust in young forces means that firstly, some important managerial tasks should be entrusted to youth, and secondly, we should welcome some of the innovative ideas that they put forward, and also their energy and enthusiasm.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.